Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon, friends, and welcome to our next Grimke Lecture. So good to have you here. Always a blessing. We've got new faces, we've got old friends here, and it's a pleasure for us to host an event on a regular basis throughout the year where we can all just gather, chat, chew, and hear from some voices telling us about how God is moving in hidden places and some places not so hidden. It's my pleasure. I'm Karen Ellis. I'm the director of the Edmiston Center for the Study of the Bible and Ethnicity here at RTS Atlanta. And it's my pleasure to introduce to you today's speaker. Before I do that, I do have to say thanks again to our volunteer, our community volunteers. Dare to Hope, Sister Vanita, is serving us today, and we appreciate you so much. You guys have been such a blessing to us all semester long. I want to introduce today's speaker. He and my husband go back many, many years. Well, not so many, maybe, but many, many. Is it many, many? About 20 years. That's many, many. If each many is a decade. Many, many. I want to introduce to you our dear friend, Dr. Thad James, from Birmingham Theological Seminary. And I'll just tell you a little bit about his life. Dr. James began his seminary education at Birmingham Theological Seminary, where he is now the vice president. And he has served since 2003 in that capacity. He received a Bachelor of Arts degree in psychology from St. Mary's in San Antonio, Texas. He got his Master of Arts degree in pastoral leadership from BTS and his PhD in theology from Trinity Theological Seminary. Now, along with teaching and counseling and mentoring and discipling his many seminary students, supervising the faculty and the curriculums, he is the director of the BTS Prison Initiative at Bibb County Correctional Facility in Brent, Alabama. And at Bibb County, they're providing a certificate in biblical studies and or a master's of biblical studies degree. He's the president of the board of Jumpstart Alabama, a prison recidivism program behind the walls and outside of the walls, along with being the president of the board of Maranatha Academy, which is a school for at-risk youth, and a professor faculty advisor at Africa Reformation Theological Seminary.
Impressive,
in Uganda. You get around. You are not playing here. Dr. James is a ruling elder at Household of Faith. Household of Faith Church, PCA Church, and he is a family man. So with many children and numerous grandchildren.
And two greats.
That's church growth right there. All right. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for coming and blessing
you,
us, brother. We
thank
appreciate you.
You.
Please welcome.
Well, again, I greatly appreciate this opportunity. And this is a ministry that is very, very near and dear to my heart. So if I kind of stop and cry a bit, it just means that much to me. Carl had asked, and Guard, what do these mean? Okay, well, first, we changed back in 18 or 19, we changed the symbol as far as the thorns and then the cross. This is our emblem for Birmingham Theological Seminary. This one is for our prison recidivism program, Jumpstart. So we have the purple and the gold, of course, the royalty, the color, and also my wife, who went to be with the Lord 2 years ago, she was passionate about purple. Everything that she had was purple. We were in Washington State in Tacoma, and we were going down the hill to where the wharf is, and they have a purple store for one of the schools there. So we're on a hill, and she's opening the door, getting ready to jump out to go over to the purple store. At least let me stop. And so, of course, we have this is the prison recidivism program. So this is the Bible. And then we know that the nails, the atonement, the sacrifice of Christ, and then breaking the bonds of slavery, but also breaking the bonds to be free. And our men in prison really are more free than most people on the outside. I can assure you of that. And I can trust them a whole lot more than people on the outside. And then, of course, we're shaking hands here. So in prison, you don't want to be in friendly relationships with people. So we're creating those relationships, but also the relationships that we have from churches and other ministry, other different organizations that are helping us. And then pos naribus looks, darkness before light. And so I want to place heavy, heavy emphasis on this, the sovereignty of God in prison ministry. And as we go through this, everything that has happened has only been by the sovereignty of God. This is not prepackaged. I've been asked, well, how do you do this? Give me the formula. Well, the formula is God. That is the only formula. Because when you see, as we go through this, and you see how God has brought people together, there's no way on earth that any of us would have gotten together but God. Okay? And so, again, the sovereignty of God in prison ministry. And I also want to give my guys, I did not do this PowerPoint. I sat down with three of my leaders and then with Josh. Josh is an IT genius. And I told them what I wanted, and then they put it together. I wish life could be that easy all the time. Okay, yes, yes. And I want, and two, if you notice the chains. So this is progression. In case we're going to kind of see the historical perspective of how we got to where we are today. And then again, how God orchestrated this and brought people together. So again, laying the foundation. And you can see we have the old BTS symbol there. So you'll see how things will change over time. And so now how this got started was there was an inmate at Bibb County Correctional Facility. The then warden, Warden Price, had asked him, he was in the infirmary, and he needed a blood transfusion. And he said, I can't do that. And she said, well, why not? He said, I don't know, I've got to ask my dad. Well, he was a Jehovah's Witness, so they could not do a blood transfusion. And so by that, she went to a good friend of mine, Myree Tolbert. Now, Myree, you'd never know that by looking at him, but in his younger days, he was one of those guys you would have seen in Scarface, one of those guys you would have seen on TV. He was a big-time, multi-million-dollar drug dealer. The kind that you would see, you know, flying down into South America, bringing back a plane load of drugs. And they actually didn't get him on the drugs. They got him on the RICO, on tax evasion. So he served time in federal prison. He met Chuck Colson. And so he worked for Prison Fellowship for a while as Chuck Colson's really right-hand man. And then he was from Mobile. And he moved to Birmingham to be closer to his mother as she got older. And so he kept coming to me, and, well, actually Warden Price came to him and said, don't you know somebody at the seminary, at Birmingham Theological Seminary? And he said, yeah, I do. So he and I were good friends, and he'd been asking me before, you know, come out to Bibb with me, come out to Bibb. Look, I've never been to prison. I didn't leave anything there. I have no interest whatsoever. I've got way too many things to do now before I even think about going into prison. And he just kept on and kept on and kept on. Well, I gave in 2013, and here I am. And I literally fell in love with prison. And so then we started doing a comparative religion course because of the misunderstanding that so many of these guys have as far as why they, what we do the same thing out here. Why do you believe what you believe? Why are you attending or not attending the church? Why are you joining these particular people? And so we started with the Apologetic Resource Center. We looked at the primary 13 major belief systems that were in prison. And so each week we would do one. We'd go out there one day a week. So there was 13 weeks. We start off with what is religion? What is Christianity? Judaism, Islam, Nation of Islam, Five Percenters, Morris Science Temple, Native American spirituality, Buddhism, Hinduism, the major ones that were out there. And then on the end, I would come in and do a secular worldview. Can you live comfortably within the belief system that you are in? Are there any contradictions? And we got quite a few conversions. So then, one of the inmates, and I'll show you his picture in a bit here, asked me if I would do in 2014, the summer, asked me if I would come out there and teach a course in Bible interpretation. Well, that's my main course, so I couldn't say no on that. I love Bible interpretation. And so we did that. Now, again, there's obstacles. Now, at this time, Warden Price was a great warden. We've been through like five wardens over the since then. And she was really, really in favor with what we were doing, very, very supportive. But we had obstacles, still obstacles on the inside, and even more obstacles on the outside. You would think that people would be highly in favor of what we were doing, but that wasn't necessarily the... My ear's not acting right. Okay. So again, I started teaching the Bible interpretation course. And now, I was told, don't do that. It's a waste of time. You don't need to go out there. Nothing's ever going to come of that. But then, what happened? Again, the sovereignty of God. So this is Jefferson Dunn. He became the new commissioner in the early part of 2015. He was a retired Air Force colonel. In fact, he was base commander at Maxwell in Montgomery. He was a pilot. The then governor asked him to come on to take on as the commissioner of the Alabama Department of Corrections. That's not a job anybody wants. I won't go into all the things at the DOC, but it's really an exercise in futility. But he took that on. And so again, we see the sovereignty of God here, that one, he was a believer. Two, he's in the PCA. Three, he grew up in Birmingham and was very familiar. He was a child of Briarwood Presbyterian Church, which is where our seminary is. And so when he came in, he got in connection with CIU, Columbia International University in South Carolina. They call them directors instead of commissioners. Osmond, who also was on the BTS board at the time, he was friends with the then president. He's a Alabama graduate. He was a former director there. And he instituted and brought in Columbia International University to begin to have classes at Kirkland facility in South Carolina. So when he became commissioner, he met up with them to talk about this. And then also in the right corner down there, anybody ever heard of Angola in Louisiana? Okay, I tell people that I have cousins that work there. I have cousins that live there. Okay, Angola, without a doubt, was the absolute most violent prison in America. If you left there, you were leaving there this way. You were not leaving there upright. Well, I'll have pictures of Burl Cain here in a bit, but he was the warden at the time. He was a believer, and kind of like Timothy, his mother and his grandmother had told him, you know, you're going to be the warden there. You're going to bring Christ in behind those walls. So he got with New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and they began to have classes at Angola, and it transformed Angola. They have bachelor's, they have master's, they have doctoral programs behind the walls there. Now, he left there. He started a program now getting other Bible colleges and seminaries to go into prisons. We're the only one that he did not start. We did it on our own. And actually, now he's the commissioner in Mississippi. Who do you think he's bringing in as his chaplains? His graduates. Okay, and so then, so the local connection. So now... We went down to the graduation in December of 2015 and went to South Carolina for the graduation at Kirkland and making connections with those people and then really working hard to work with them and giving us ideas. Now, Columbia International is not just a seminary. It is a college and a university. So they were offering associate's degrees. We offer just strictly theological degrees. We got a lot of good ideas from them. And so then when we, let me get back to the picture. Okay, Mitch Hobart, the guy with the beard there. We have prayed and prayed and prayed. Okay, now I'm in Birmingham. Brent's about 50 miles away from Birmingham. So we need someone that's a pastor, preferably a PCA pastor, that's in the community, that has chaplain background, has military background, has sheriff's background. Mitch checked all the boxes. He's a retired Army captain. He was in the Middle East. In fact, a couple of the guys, the officers at Bibb, were under his command. And when he retired, he moved back to Alabama. He went to school at Troy. He worked for the sheriff's department. And now he's pastoring in Brent, Alabama, about 2 miles from Bibb County Correctional Facility. So you see the sovereignty of God again. And then when we met, like David and Jonathan, our hearts just immediately knit together. And I'll talk some more about that. The little guy over in the corner there on the right is Burl Cain. So he's the one that transformed Angola. And is, you know, used to we always said, thank God for Mississippi, for those of us that live in Alabama. But he's going to transform that prison system so it won't be like that the way that he's going. Okay? And then the home influence. Well, my wife, she went to be with the Lord, I say, January 3rd of 2021, so it's been 2 years now. You see that little girl in the corner? That's Chloe Bell. That's Mitch has 7 children. Now, I think he said he's stopping now. His quiver is full. So Chloe Bell, when she was born, they didn't know what was wrong with her. And so Yvonne and I are like parents to Mitch and to his wife, Amy. And when Chloe Bell was born, they didn't know what was happening with her. Yvonne got up, and they were at Children's Hospital in Birmingham, so she stayed with Amy the whole time that they were in the hospital. We kept the children at our house periodically if Chloe Bell was having problems. I mean, she would get up in the middle of the night and drive to Brent to take care of Chloe Bell. That was her child. And so subsequently, Mitch had another little boy who's named after me. And he just recently had a little girl whose name is Addie Mae after one of the little girls at the 16th Street Church, but her middle name is Iris after Yvonne. And then Chauncey. Chauncey was the one actually that asked me about teaching the Bible interpretation class. And then we prayed. He said, well, why don't we do seminary classes here? And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And again, it wasn't happening until, in the sovereignty of God, God brought Jeff Dunn. So in 2016, we started the first cohort, the first BTS cohort class. And now what we did before then was we hadn't even done any recruiting yet, so I started building a curriculum. So I talked about the people at CIU, so I took our biblical studies program, our Master's of Biblical Studies program, which is a 40-hour program, and then just began to play with it a bit. You know, I'd been out to Bibb for a few years, so I kind of understood some things that was going on in there. And so we took we got 2 years, so it's 48 hours instead of 44, but try to model some things. What do they need behind the prison walls? So this was the first cohort, and this was their classes. It was Birmingham Theological Seminary professors that went out there. We have classes from Monday through Thursday. We started off having classes in the chapel. We converted one of the offices there to classroom. We were able to bring computers in, which was unheard of. Logos Bible software gave us 15 titles to the standard library, so we have those loaded on there, and subsequently able to get some more things loaded on them. Got with Dell, we've got some brand new. Briarwood was gracious. I would get all the, when they switch out computers, I'd get the first dibs on the computers. And then I got one of our students worked for Dell, so I got a good deal on some brand new ones. I'm still working on to get those out there. So this was our first curriculum, and we also did workshops. And now, as it said, that you had to have 7 years left on your sentence. You could not have any demerits, any violations at all in the last 5 years to qualify. They had to fill out the same application that our BTS students fill out, with a few more things as far as the DOC was concerned. You had to be at a medium prison. We couldn't take anybody from from Max camps because they couldn't transfer to Bibb. Okay, so then we begin to network with other people. So here's Jefferson Dunn. Deborah Daniels, she lives in Atlanta now, but she was with Prison Fellowship, so I've known her for years. He also was with Prison Fellowship. This date doesn't necessarily match up with Ike. He hadn't come in as president yet. And then Jones, who started off with us, he's not with us now. And then this is Chaplain Woodfin. He's over all the religious programming for the Department of Corrections. And a very, very close friend. I just talked to him a couple of days ago because I got to go back out on a recruiting tour of all the medium camps, start looking for more people to bring into Bibb. So we did a recruiting tour. So he and I and Mitch, we sent out information to the various prisons, to the medium camps, to the wardens and to the chaplains, so they could set up and call men in that were interested in making a change and coming to Bibb. And so we would go out and we would just do like a mass talk and tell them what we were doing. And then for those that were interested, we'd hand out the applications. And then we'd come back on the next tour and we would just do individual interviews with the men. Again, this is cohort one, and I'll come back to them. So again, providence at work, the hand of God. Again, now this is green and red. So Adam Green and then Charles Carraway. He doesn't quite have red hair anymore. It's kind of changed colors a bit. But they were both graduates of CIU and Jumpstart in South Carolina. And so we were still doing our recruiting tour. We were up at Limestone near Huntsville, and we were going to set up a phone call with a couple of the chaplains so we could interview, again, men that would leave South Carolina to come to Alabama to help get us started. And so we talked to a couple of men, and then the chaplain said, wait a minute. He said, we could go on with this forever. He said, I've got two men, and these are the two men that you need. So now when we talked to Adam right here, initially he said no, and he said no again. Then, because he had just moved to a facility that was close to his mother, so it was real easy for her to now visit. He said he had a couple of dreams when God called Abraham to leave and go. And he told his mother that. And his mother said, you have no choice. You have to go. And then with Red, now, he was in a facility that had his own individual or two-man cell. We're in dorms, rooms like this with bunk beds. And then he said, well, can I bring my television and my microwave and my hot plate? Son, you're coming to Alabama. They had built a meditation pond with koi out behind. He could look out a window and he could see the fish swimming around. He said, no, you're coming again to Brent, Alabama. But again, the sovereignty of God, bringing those two men. And again, God can do anything and everything, but those two men really helped to solidify our program. Without those two men, apart from God, we would not have been able to make it. When we recruited these, we recruited 15 men. When we brought them over to Bibb, so they're now in a dorm of 106 men. And they didn't have them all together. They had them spread out. So literally, they had to protect each other. One of them would stay awake. They take turns staying awake at night so no one would steal, rob, or rape them at night. That's how dangerous it was there. And of course, the other inmates hated them because they had privileges. So they had, you know, they had clear backpacks, they had books, they could leave the bay, come into the chapel for class. That was their jobs in prison, was being students. So you can imagine how the other inmates felt about them. And officers too. Well, why can't we do that? I'll be more than happy to let you come to the seminary. I won't charge you for it. I'll give you scholarships. But are you going to do the work, or are you going to complain? And then the other inmates, again, the same way. Why can't we do this? Well, I started here first. I came to Jerusalem first before I went to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. And none of you guys were interested. So with these 15 men, we started. I had 10 to graduate. It's hard. All of you seminary students know what seminary is like. But then also, being behind these walls, and then are you really ready to change who you are, what you are, to conform? Because our standards are much, much higher than what the DLC standards had. And so, let me... So with these guys... And I'll go back, and that's George Scipione. He used to be, he passed in 2020. He was a professor at Reformed in Pittsburgh. And a good, he was before, after, he was a father in the Lord to Mitch before me. Because Mitch graduated from there. And actually, we were together in 2019, because he taught about the same time frame I did at Africa Reformation Theological Seminary in Uganda. And we left there about the middle of November. He and his wife left a couple of weeks later. When he got back, he found out he had pancreatic cancer, and within a couple of weeks, he went to be with the Lord. I'll come back. There's other pictures there. So this is our first graduation. And... the thing that was so wonderful, so amazing, is that, now, I'm a very sweet, lovable, nice person. But now, those guys hated me with a passion. Because, you know, you can see things in people that they can't necessarily see in themselves. And they had, I mean, I know what all those guys did. And to know, and to see them now, in fact, you know, some of them, after they finished, they come out to the house because my wife just loved them so much. In fact, Chauncey, he called her mama. And she made sure that I would smoke turkeys when we would have graduations and we'd have, you know, when the families could come in. So I would smoke turkeys. I had turkeys in my freezer. I had turkey in both of my sons' freezers. We had turkeys and hams because she was going to take care of her boys. And so on the graduation, when we were... one of our men, and he's got other pictures up there, is a medical doctor from University of Arkansas. And when he graduated with that master's in biblical studies, his mother was more, she said, I'm more proud of him getting this than when he graduated from medical school at Arkansas. Being in prison brought him, his children, and his family back together again. And the same... individual ones. Let me see here. This one right here. The same with him. University of Alabama graduate. He got his master's in biblical studies. The same with his parents. Every single one of these guys, the stories where they hadn't had any relationships with their families for years, and being in seminary brought them back in a relationship with their children and with their families. Now, with these guys, again, they were the first ones. So they still were battling, but having to battle for their safety, battle that no one was going to steal their stuff, battling so no one was going to violate them, it brought them together. You know, that true fellowship, that true koinonia that does not happen in prison. They had to rely on each other. And during this time, there was a young man that had just come into prison. And I think I told Carl this story last night, that... He got in debt. You don't want to get in debt in prison. He got in debt and he owed three guys. And they would set up and they would trick you. Okay, so like, yeah, I'll give you this coffee. I'll give you this top ramen. That's gold in prison. And he did it. And then you come back and you say, well, how can I pay you back? Well, it's not me. I got it from my buddy over here. So you got to get it from him. But now you owe him even more. So, usury at the highest levels. So now he has no way of getting and paying these guys back. So you have three options. I can beat you, I can kill you, or I pimp you. And they're going to kill him. But one of our guys, one of our older guys, back Chauncey, you know, please don't kill him. You know, we'll pay you back. So they got together with their little cinnamon rolls and coffee and top ramen, and they paid his ransom. They paid him. And he was so terrified. So what did he do? He said, well, he physically urinated on himself. So I would have had stuff coming out all different directions of that. And so from then on, and they started having, well, they hadn't started chapel yet. But he would sit in the front. He was right there with them every time they were doing anything that they were doing. So then one of our guys, Ross, who's a big evangelist, he came back and said, okay, you're going to go over here and you're going to apologize to those three guys. No, I can't do that. They'll kill me. I'm going to go with you. So he did that. And they didn't know, you don't apologize for anything in prison. Then you're weak. And so when he did that, they didn't know what to say. So I said, Ross, what are you going to do now? I'm going to go back later and I'll evangelize to those three guys. And they literally, they are physically saving lives. They are spiritually saving lives. Red said that this guy fell out, and he said, I was praying to do mouth-to-mouth on him. But again, they're saving lives all the time. And you can see somebody fall out, somebody run right behind him, pick up whatever it was he was smoking, and they'll finish it off. Fentanyl, all those drugs, are whatever you get on the outside, cell phones, you can get on the inside. Another one of our guys had been molested all of his life by his father. And he came to me, and his father and his brother, they were all in the same prison at Bibb. And he went to his father, and he apologized to his father. I said, wow. I go, I don't know if I could do that. And then he led his father to the Lord. I started crying when he told me that. And I'm thinking to myself, he said, well, Dr. James, you taught us that. I know I taught you that. But could I have actually done that? And actually during the graduation, they were teasing me. I they're like my children, so I cried. They said, so you care about us? No, I had something in my eye. I don't care about you guys. Okay, so theologians at work. So now in 2018, okay, so the first class, our plan initially was the graduating class, we would send them out two by two to other institutions. And so on the first class, we sent out, I have to get the names of the facilities here. So we sent guys down to Holman. We had two guys go to Holman. That's where they do the executions. And they ask to go there. Okay? And then, so one of them now is in a minimum camp at Lockley Minimum Camp, which you can work, you can come, you can leave and go back as far as the camp is concerned. We had another one that we had sent to Montgomery, but then he's in St. Clair. He transferred there. And I've got two in Staten, and then another one at Red Eagle, which is also another light camp. He started off in Staten. And they're all doing ministry there, and the wardens. The tough part there is that if you don't have a warden that's a believer, it's not going to work. It is not going to work. And that's a lot of the battles that we had after Warden Price left. We had another warden come in who was very in favor. The next one, she hated us with a passion. Our guys were threatened. They were getting beat up. You know, we're having the classes in the chapel. We turned it into a computer lab. They had to go from their bay over to the chapel. So you had to have, you know, officers to escort you to get over there. So there was generally obstacles that would come in. There was obstacles with getting the professors in back to the chapel because the warden did not want us there. You know, again, now we, because our guys, again, since 2018, when we brought Jumpstart in, they've had zero violations. The CERT team, which is the Corrections Emergency Response Team, these guys are 10 feet tall, 500 pounds, just giants. And they come in, and they literally just, they tear things off the wall. They cut open the mattresses. They take the ceiling tiles out, looking for contraband. Now, normally, they'll come away with a truckload of knives and phones and all kinds of stuff, drugs. They cannot find anything in our base. So that frustrates them. And this, we got to find something. You guys are up to something. And even still today, one of our guys, just last week, one of the officers said, "You guys are too clean. You need to be dirty like everybody else." And they can't figure out. Now, Mitch is the chaplain there now, but they were thinking before that, okay, you guys are up to something. You're getting something out of this. You're just not going to do this for free. So they have to think that we are up to doing. We just can't figure out what you're doing, but you're doing something. Well, yes, we are working for the Lord. And so we sent these guys out, and then, so then we begin the ministry expansion at Bibb. So because of Red and Green, now Green went back. He went back to South Carolina after the 2018 graduation. He was free. And then Red stayed with us. He could have gone back, but he wanted to stay with us. And we started Jumpstart, which is a prison recidivism program. And I'll have some statistics at the end there. And so now we've gone from the 10 men that graduated. I sent, again, 6 out, so I kept 4 men there at Bibb, knowing what we were going to be doing going forward. And now we've gone from those men, now we have a whole bay. A bay is 106 men, okay, and that's with bunk beds. And so now we've started Jumpstart, and now with, let's see here. So now they're doing, the BTS graduates are the leaders. We are inmate-led. Most of the other, pretty much all the other organizations are more volunteer-led. So imagine those of you that are pastors, if you were living with your congregation, that might be a bad thing. You don't want to live with your but they know everything that's happening because they're all living together. Okay? So you can't get away with anything. And so they're the ones now that are the trainers for the other men. And here they're having their small group. Anybody ever heard of relational wisdom? Ken Sandy, after he left Peacemakers, started Relational Wisdom. So we had Chip Zimmer come down and did a seminar on relational wisdom. And again, these grown men are crying. You know, one of the struggles is when we talk about God as Father, Father's not a good word necessarily with a lot of these guys. So getting them, having them open up in their relationships and being honest one to another. And that's what happens in these small groups. That's Booth. He's one of my primary. I have 3 guys right now that are my primary leaders. So Booth, Red, and Patrick. He's the one, Carl, that he's working on his D-Men. He's doing an honors D-Men. He is a Greek phenom. And now they're teaching Greek and Hebrew to the Jumpstart guys. Oh, I had one of our professors, Matt Arney, go out there, who was one of our Greek professors. And I had to separate. You know how when you get language people together? They are, anybody in here a language person? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but you know how you guys are. They're like evangelists. They are weird. You know, they're just their own little thing. Nothing else matters. I had to separate them and say, come on, we got to go. We got to get out of here. But he is just beyond words. Like I said, he's working on his D-Men, and he's doing the honors, so he's writing on I can't even put all the words together that he's doing. Okay. This is the man who led his father and his brother to the Lord. So again, it's inmate led. I'm an advisor. I do what I can to help and direct. And really, my main thing now is just training the leaders. This is, again, we had come there to, this is one of the graduations. So these are some professors. And again, Larry Dozier. He was also one of my biblical counseling professors for out in Africa. He passed. He was just fell out, massive heart attack. So I need some biblical counseling professors in Africa. I am thin. Okay, so now we have cohort 2. So we did the same thing. We went out and recruited So I think I had 13 men who graduated, I think 8. But now what I do, though, is every day, the first thing, what about maybe the second thing that I do, is I sit down with Red and Booth and Patrick. They're my main leaders. And, okay, you guys tell me what's going on. You tell me what I need to do to help. And did the same thing when we finished cohort 1. Before cohort 2 came in, we went back, okay, what do we put in? What do we take out? What's going to work better? What do we do that helped you guys? What can we change? So we changed the curriculum. So one of the things that we did here is we have a summer prep. So we bring them in before the fall semester starts. So they'll go through, how do we use computers? We had guys that had never touched a computer in the first cohort. So working with them on that. Of course, Logos training. Observation, interpretation, and application as far as in the devotions. How do we write? And, of course, everybody in seminary world loves Kate Turabian. I tell the students, you have your Bible here, and you have Kate over here. And sometimes you may need to switch. Put Kate over here and put your Bible over here. Okay? And so they go through the whole semester. They also do, we use Third Mill. So we do Apostles' Creed, making biblical decisions. And if you're familiar with Third Mill, you have seen me in Third Mill. In fact, look at the Samuel. There's a very handsome, dynamic man that's hosting the Samuel series. No humility. No humility. Like when we were in Uganda in 2019, we were on a safari. And our driver, I asked him, I said, you know, how come you're not taking, you know all the guys at seminary, why aren't you in seminary? And he said, well, I graduated from BTS. And he said, do you know BTS? And Yvonne and I looked at each other and said, well, yeah, a little bit. And I said, but I don't remember your name. We did the CCM, the Certificate in Christian Ministry that we do in conjunction with Third Mill. And he said, I thought you looked familiar. And then he said, do you know Richard Pratt? And I go, yeah. He said, he's been to my house a few times. And Pratt in England means a joker, a fool. Okay. And so when he first met Yvonne, she was half English and half Scottish, she laughed when I introduced. And he said, you know why she's laughing? I go, no, because Pratt means, you know, a fool in England. And so I just happened to have, each year I read Pray With Your Eyes Open. And I just happened to have it with me. Actually, it was Yvonne's copy that I had. And I said, can I give this to him? She goes, yeah. So again, you just never know where you're going to run into people. And so then we revised, you know, some of the classes. And then, but we also put in here a jumpstart training to help develop the leaders for jumpstart. Okay, then this is the jumpstart curriculum. So you can see that they have full days as far as what they're doing. And so you have, you know, different teachings on the gospel. You have different people that are coming in. Not different people that are coming in, but a lot of different materials that we're using, and particularly on biblical manhood. We do a lot of training on that. Now, this was prior to you guys coming in, to Ligonier coming in. And now this was what Jumpstart USA was using. But our guys, because now they're seminary trained, they just got beyond what they were doing. And they're just now, they're finishing up their own workbook that they put together. And you'll see the revised one here in a bit. Okay, so this actually is the first graduating class. And again, some of our support guys that were pastors and teachers here. And this is the medical doctor here, and he's still helping people out in the prison. But each one of these guys, just great, great stories of transformation. This was the first jumpstart graduation, this one we did have in 2019. This was right before COVID. And here again is the, after they, when they watch the videos and they do their lesson. Now, again, our program is different than any of the other prison programs. The other prison programs, you can come in there, you can sleep, you can just do whatever you want to do. All you want to do is get a certificate in your jacket, thinking that's going to help you with parole or probation, which it doesn't. I've been to parole hearings, and no, they're not letting anybody out. And so with ours, you have scores. You've got to get a green or a blue folder in order to graduate. You can get a green, but that's not as good. And green and blue are good, then yellow and red are not. You can do it, you can redo it, because you want to complete it right. But again, they have to do the work. If not, they're not going to be in the program. They also have, let me get the names here. They have to sign, they have contracts that they sign with us. They have a social contract as to how they're going to live their lives. Again, you can't participate in any of those other activities that you used to participate in. There's an organizational chart. There's a tier of the leaders, and then who's doing the mentoring and who the mentees are. So they've got a great organizational chart of how they organize things as far as Jumpstart is concerned. We have guys that sit in the desk when you first walk in. No one's coming into our base. Now, sometimes the officers will deliberately drop guys off, some for protection, because they know our guys are highly respected. And so if a guy is in debt and he can't go to anywhere else because he owes people, he's in trouble, or he's done something, they'll drop him off in our bay for protection. Again, when guys need drug rehab, they'll bring them to our guys. We have a drug rehab group within our students who have been trained in addictions and biblical counseling, and so they will help these guys through. If there's people in PREA, Prison Rape Elimination Act, who are victims, they will bring them to our guys as far as protection is concerned. Because they're in prison, if you started your transition, they will continue to give you your medication. You can get feminine underclothes in the commissary, which, why would you want to do that while you're in prison? You're an attraction. But again, they will drop those guys off in our bays, again, to protect them. Okay, so 2020. Now, actually, 2020, that was still before COVID. So this was the graduation class for Jumpstart. So now we've gone from 106 men in one bay, now we have two bays. So now we have 212 men led by the BTS students, and again with Jumpstart, again, that are living clean, godly lives. And if you, they have a, they call it, a rehabilitation process, that if you do mess up, they just don't immediately kick you out. You get someone that's going to stick with you, that's going to be alongside of you, that's going to walk with you to help you to rehab and get things back together. And if you don't, then we'll transfer you out of our bay, and you've got to go. We call the other side of the camp the Hunger Games. That is every man for himself. I've been over there. You never been over there, have you?
I've seen about
it's a different, they're different. They are different. We've gone over there. Get out of here. We like living like this. They'll be over in the corner. I saw one guy who sat on a bench. And, he's doing, if you've ever seen that junkie nod? Or you? He never fell off the bench, though. Yeah, he had it mastered. And then all the other, when you see the sheets down over the bunks, you don't go there. So they ran us out. But now what's happening now is, and I'm going to go recruiting in 2 weeks, they want Bibb to be a program prison. So they're moving people out. They've actually emptied out B dorm on the Hunger Games side, and it's just destroyed. It's not even livable. So now they're fixing it back up again. They'll do a bay at a time. And again, that's where it's so important that we are partnering with Ligonier. We've got to get more men trained, because they're expecting us, between BTS, Jumpstart, and now Ligonier, to transform Bibb. We'll have access to really all of the prison to accept changes. Again, the sovereignty of God. So this again was this is the second graduating class. Now this is, again, that's red. That's Booth, Patrick. Those are my leaders. Now I'm working with Parker, I'm working with Cornell, and Adam. So that's my next tier of leadership that I'm working with and training now. See this guy right here? Go to MSNBC Lockup Holman and go about halfway through. Should I say it now or wait?
Wait.
So in question and answer, ask me about Parker. And then same with him. In fact, they had visitation a week ago, and his mother came in from Virginia. So I said, you know, she's staying not too far from where I live. So I, you know, took her to dinner and to lunch, and he's again, one of my leaders now. And guys that you would never think, right here, Patrick, that's my little boy. He's another one. He fought me tooth and nail. He did not want anything to do with leadership, and now he's one of my best guys. Okay. And well, that's Ligonier. Is he with Ligonier too? They were the ones that did the video. So there's Cornell again leading. Now those are the guys, they're leading the Jumpstart classes. And that's Mitch, which now, again, the sovereignty of God, he is now the chaplain at Bibb County Correctional Facility. The previous chaplain was pitiful. But now we have services going, starting back again. The chapel was closed except to, am I doing too long? Oh, yes, I am over my time. Okay, let me hurry up. I'm sorry. This is the second graduation, which we had to wait because 2021 was COVID, so we had to wait until 2022. This man right here, he is 82 years old. This is Josh that did all the graphics and everything, but he's 82 years old. He walks with a walker. He came to me and he said, Dr. James, can I talk to you? I said, sure, you can talk to me. He says, thank you. I said, what are you thanking me for? He said, I never thought that I would feel safe in prison. Okay, so then cohort 3, that's where we are right now. So there we were behind because we were 2 years of COVID, we got behind. And so you can see again that, you know, we changed the program again and focusing again on training and development. So here you can see they have Jumpstart development people, Jumpstart developing processes, and then, of course, biblical counseling, apologetics in the Bible. So, again, what's going to work best to develop these men for what we call them to do? And then we've completely revised the Jumpstart curriculum. These guys pretty much are in classes all day long, every day, the Jumpstart guys. I know that's small, but, again, and then we've added in, again, some of the Ligonier training, and that's what I'm working with the leaders right now as to they're going to divide up the Ligonier classes, who's going to do what. Putting them into teams. Everybody's going to stay in their own lane. We're not crossing over so we don't have problems. And then making them play nice with each other. They got three strong guys. We've had two BTS graduate. I think we've had five. This was the latest Jumpstart graduation that we had, and that's a lot of the volunteers in the back. I think you're in there, aren't you, Mike? Yeah, Christmas. Yeah, and this young lady is one of our board members with the outside program. Her father's incarcerated. Okay. So why the necessity of the work? This was the foundation for my dissertation. If we believe that all men, mankind, is made in the image of God, then why was the Bible used to justify American slavery? And do we really, really, we can say that we believe that we're all made in the image of God. But we wouldn't treat each other the way that we do if we believed it. All these men are made in the image of God. They have mothers, they have fathers, they have children, they have sisters, they have brothers. And people think that, for all have sinned and fallen short. But maybe by the grace of God, we're not in there. I've got sex offenders, I've got murders, I've got people that did all kinds of things. But they are saved. They are believers. The hardest ones to get people to believe are the sex offenders. But God can change people. Otherwise, where would we be? And then, of course, he made it from every, we're all of one blood, all of one father. Okay, so what happens here? 95% of the people in prison are going to get out. 95%. The national recidivism rate is 85%. So now, if you get a GED, 55% will come back. If you get vocational training, 30% will go back. If you get an associate's degree, 13.7% will go back. If you get a bachelor's degree, 5.6% will go back. If you get a doctoral or a master, you're not coming back to prison. He said, I've got two guys. Red's working on his doctor of ministry and pastoral leadership, and Booth is working on his D-Men, the honors D-Men. Oops. Now, Josh made this.
Jumpstart Alabama is focused on serving the men in our living environment and others, and we are impacting lives by introducing men to God, providing a structured living environment that's conducive to learning, being and making a positive role model, and providing them with life skills. Now, what we would like to share is how the lives of these men are being impacted.
It's through the Jumpstart program that I am growing tremendously and can come around in accountability, where not only am I growing courageously and holding other women accountable for the standards, but also in humility, I've learned to invite other women into my life who will hold me accountable to the standards.
Taking responsibility for my actions, my past, my mistakes.
I'm much more aware of the things that I was doing wrong. Now, I'm making sure that.
That's Cornell. He's my next tier of leadership.
Having a group of guys that hold me accountable, a support team.
For accountability, learning to live as a free man, yet not using it as a veil for darkness. So I think that's been one of the most impactful things for me. Jumpstart has taught me how to live a life that is less focused on myself, on my own selfish needs and desires, and it showed me how to be aware of those around me, how to be accountable to those around me, and teaching me just how to take responsibility for my own life every day.
Seeing God work in and through the community of believers in ways that only He can.
So far, Alabama has impacted my life just by showing me how to be a team player. Coming to Jumpstart, I was really kind of on the down end. Just lost my daughter. I can tell that people genuinely care about me. It has taught me what it means to have family that will confront you and call you out on your mess, family that's willing to love you and be gentle with you and humble at the same time. And it taught me to fight what matters the most, and that's advancing the kingdom of God.
On August 9th, 2021, I got the phone call that my dad wants to get in prison. I found out I lost my niece, my nephew, and my two sons in a tragic car accident. But within the Jumpstart Alabama community, there was a brotherhood that exemplified the love and compassion of Christ. And during the worst scenes of my life, through these brothers, God was able to comfort me and help me through my time of pain and grief.
He lost his two sons and niece and nephew in a horrible car crash.
Necessary to be a man, leading, loving, protecting, and providing all to the world. the ways of righteousness. And through the providing of outside support and donations, it encourages me to continue doing what is right.
Jumpstart, through a daily surrender to Christ, has taught me how to make Jesus the Lord of my life. When this drastic change took place in my life, I was spiritually dead, but now I'm alive.
Yeah, man, we've become a better man, and a man of integrity, a man of responsibility, and both of me have made me a man of God that you want me to be.
Jumpstart Alabama is talking about a biblical blueprint for authentic manhood. So become the man God called me to be. It's also provided an opportunity to share that experience with other men and help guide them through that same process.
I love Jumpstart because I love the opportunity to mentor others, to be a mentee, to grow in the discipleship program.
He's the one you need to ask me about.
To be able to work together and cooperate with the community that enables us to just embrace the kingdom of Christ.
Jumpstart Alabama is making an impact on men's lives, individual lives, and on the community as a whole. But we recognize one of the most important aspects is our partnership with the outside. And so we're deeply grateful, and we want to speak from our heart and just say a resounding thank you for all that you do, all that you give, and the way you're going to partner with us from here forward.
We had a fundraiser dinner, and the guys behind the walls put that together. So between all the different people that we have that are, you know, volunteers, whether it's, again, like Ligonier, Briarwood, so many churches and individuals that are helping us, again, thank you. And thank you guys. So, you know, please, any questions, anything. And, again, this is all done by the inmates. You know, they thank me, but I said, no. You guys don't know what you do for me.
We've got a few questions.
Yeah.
My husband especially has questions of his own to prime the pump for us. Feel free to line up behind the mic.
All right. First, I want to ask you about MSNBC and the guy you told
Parker.
Us about.
Yeah, Parker.
Well, Stephen Parker. He was the shot caller, the president of the Aryan Nation, white supremacist of North Alabama.
Wow.
He was... maniacal. He was Charles Manson wild. And when you watch that video, it shows you again the sovereignty of God and how he can change lives. When I first met him, he had been in solitary confinement. He's been in 20 plus years. And he was at home. He spent almost that whole time on death row. And in the cell next to him, was the last guy that was alive that had done the bombing at the 16th Street Baptist Church. And he really had, he got out every now and then to go walk in the yard by himself. So again, he was saved, his whole demeanor, everything about him changed. He walked up to his house, he was high, killed his stepmother, shot his father. Previously he had stomped someone to death, even in this video, on MSNBC, he says that he had, you know, the lightning bolts, the Schutzstaffel, swastikas. When I met him, I said, "Was ist das Schutzstaffel?" He said, "What? Ich kann durchsprechen." His voice is so soft, I had to get right up on him to even hear him talk. But that's how wild he was. When he gave the guy $200, he wanted the swastikas on his neck, he said, like Frankenstein bolts. And when the guy didn't do it, he slit the guy's throat, and he was laughing about it.
Mm.
Now, and he's about 6'7", but now, I told him Thursday, now you've gotten too soft. He's like a big fat, he's got a big belly now. He's a big fat teddy bear, but he is well-respected. Nobody. We had guys a couple of weeks ago, they dropped off in our in our bay. They could barely stand up. They were so high, and they had knives. But now when Parker went over there, they were like little babies. They needed to sit down. He wouldn't let them sit down. So he's well respected. But he is just a big, soft, gentle giant.
Yeah. Well, what are the issues that you encounter behind the walls that the church does not seem to address? Okay, obviously, we're looking at part of the contributing thing to all this is the fact that the church does not seem to address people's issues with the Word of God, which the Word of God does do.
Again, people have... There's been somewhat of a change. We have a lot of churches now that support us. It's always really interesting. I like to watch people the first time they come out because usually they're terrified. And then once they see and they encounter our guys, and especially those, they're not realizing the theological, biblical knowledge that these guys have. Again, they are seminary trained, and they are in turn sharing that with the jumpstart guys. We've got some sharp guys out there. People not realizing that, you know, they have that mentality, lock them up, throw away the key. Mm-hmm. They can't be saved. They're not going to change. But again, when they encounter our men, you can see that, again, God can do whatever he wants to do. And that just attests to his sovereignty.
Yes.
And so getting people over that fear. And I'm very protective of who comes out there. I'm not going to let just anybody come. Everybody wants to come out to preach. Well, they can preach. In fact, during COVID, when we couldn't go out there for 2 years, they started having their own chapel services in the bay.
Yeah.
And actually, guys that weren't in our bays would come over to hear our guys. Hmm. And they did better. I mean, the seminary classes, they had to stop. But now I've got Red and Booth. They're teaching the seminary classes in there now. And they did better, actually, when we couldn't go in. They kept things going. All the other ministries, everything they did had to stop. Our guys kept on going because it is inmate-led.
Mm. Wow. Wow. Well, what needs to happen in theological education to make a difference with incarcerated Christians? I mean, I've heard a lot of people have an interest. I've seen a lot of prison ministry where people just come in and they preach and get people to come forward, then they leave. And, you know, everybody knows that's a lot of that stuff is fake. But what needs to happen then in theological education? What do we have to do, like here at RTS and other seminaries? How do we encourage others to be involved in all that?
I think, again, it's not for everybody. It's a calling. God has to plant that inside of you to do that. And like I said, I do it because I love it, and then it's carrying on the work that my wife was doing with me. She was passionate about those guys. And so again, you have to have that. You need, again, the sovereignty of God, putting all these things in place. You know, when Ike came in, if I didn't have a president that was working with me, I wouldn't be able to do what I did. If we didn't have all these other churches that were working with us, we wouldn't be able to do what we did. And now the warden that we have now, again, is very supportive. In fact, when I met him, he was at Staten, and they transferred him to BIM. Praise God. Mm. And when I met him, he goes, "You may know my pastor." I said, "Well, who's your pastor?" And he said, "Reverend O.C. Oden." I said, "Do I know him?" He was my very first professor, Tuesday at 9 a.m. Bible interpretation.
Wow.
And so when he retired, I took over the Bible interpretation class. And I said, "Well, yes, and if you don't come over and stay at BIM, I'm going to call your pastor." So now we have a great man who's a believer. He's a minister. He loves what we are doing. We have his support, which makes it so, so much better. Now, I don't send people out now because, I hate to say this, but the wardens, if the warden is not in favor of it, they will destroy. We've had wardens that have actually shut down chapels because they don't want that in their prison. So now I'm keeping all my graduates, because again, we're planning on expanding more. We're going to take over BIB.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow. That's a vision. We want to encourage anybody to come up to the mic with a question. In the meantime, okay, so Obviously, any successful seminary education, you know, the goal is spiritual formation, you know, acquiring knowledge, but unto spiritual formation, so we're different people when we come out. You have a really rigorous acceptance process inside BIB. Is the process the same for BTS for folks who are outside?
Actually, no. No, we have open registrations, open enrollment, so we don't. We're not discriminating against anybody. Mm-hmm. When you come in, what we've done now is the first class that we push students into is Introduction to Theological Research and Writing. Mm-hmm. So that's our GRE. Mm-hmm. If you can't get finished with that class, you're not going to make it. Okay. In fact, we've changed now as far as BIB is concerned too. So this cohort 3 are all Jumpstart graduates. So now they are better prepared. They are disciplined. They have a theological foundation. Mm-hmm. And now going forward, once we start with Ligonier, so we'll have them do Jumpstart, Ligonier, and then come into, mm-hmm. and then come into BTS.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll have even a stronger foundation, which is going to make a stronger student.
I think the reason I'm asking is because it just seems like the process that you have at BIB is a really good model for discerning character. You know, for people before they come to seminary, you know. Yeah, so that's terrific. Okay.
Yeah, I was curious. You mentioned, I think, that the state of Alabama was now looking at this program as a possible thing that could roll out to other correctional facilities.
I'm not Save Alabama?
Yeah, did I misunderstand? I thought you were saying that the state of Alabama was looking at this particular program at BIB as something that they could probably expand, roll out to other facilities within the state.
When we started, that was the plan. Because Kirkland, CIU is in other institutions. The thing is that I don't have the money. I don't have the professors that a large university is going to have. And even amongst my professors, it has to be in their heart to go out there and to do that. When we first started, they actually wanted us to be at a facility closer to Montgomery. That's where the DOC offices are. Mm-hmm. But because I already had a relationship at BIB, and it's closer, we're housed in Briarwood Church, and so that's closer than any of the other institutions are. And so that's why we're there. I can't really go anywhere else because it's too far away. And I don't have the professors to be able to maintain it. Plus, I can have, not me as far as control is concerned. I know the warden and the staff at BIB, and not all of them are in favor because, again, you know, we're cutting down on a lot of the illicit activities that are going on.
Yeah.
And there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars made every day.
Yes, that's right.
With the drugs, with the cell phones, the sex, there's tons of money.
They're invested in not seeing people transform,
yes.
Right? Because that's their bag, that's their paycheck.
So yeah. when you get a warden who's working against you, how long does that typically last? Are they appointed for a particular term, or are they there in service of the...
It's almost impossible to... They work for the state. And so it's hard to get rid of somebody. They have to get caught in whatever it is that they are doing. So now we're blessed now with the mm-hmm. with the warden that we have. But we went through, some really, really hard years with the previous warden.
And how long did that last? Because you've shown a span from 2012 to 2022. How long was that particular warden?
Probably a couple of years. A
couple of years within that period of time.
And we've had four or five different wardens in that particular time.
I'm so glad you asked that question because for the Edmiston Center students or anybody who's taken an Edmiston Center course, you know, one of the things that we look at is how usually under anti-Christian hostility there is someone who is invested in anti-transformation.
Right.
And it's usually in systemic. You know, talk about systemic oppression doesn't exist.
It does.
It does in many different many different
all
forms.
All kind of manifestations.
Right?
Yeah.
I want to see people transform. I have another question. I'm curious if other faiths and worldviews at BIB are doing similar things to compete.
Well, they claim to be doing what we're doing, but no. Everybody, they've got, a lot of them believe that, well, they have to have their cell phones. They have to have the drugs. They have to have that if we're going to keep things calm. Our guys, they don't even smoke in our bays. That's not me doing that. That's the leaders and the guys in the bay that are doing that. But no, they're not, because we're really not patting ourselves on the back. We're the only true Christian, and we're unashamedly reformed in our theology. Yeah. The other ones they'll say they're evangelical, whatever that, or evangelistic in there. So we want as many people as we come and stay as you are.
Right.
And so we're the only ones.
Even Islam,
behind the walls, it's different
than
it is outside. Mm-hmm. And even the Nation of Islam, all the other groups, there are some that are disciplined, but for the most part, it's power. I have control, and I can get things done, and they're still, for the most part, doing things they shouldn't do.
Right,
interesting. Thank you so much for coming and speaking. Really appreciate that. I was curious, you mentioned at the beginning that there were other states doing this. I was curious if there's any kind of collaboration across state lines. Obviously, you have the Alabama Department of Corrections that you're working within, but I didn't know if there's a way that maybe you are hoping to influence other states, or maybe that they are supporting what you're doing. I don't know if there's any cooperation there.
Each state operates on its own. Even like with Red transferring from South Carolina, he can't transfer from South Carolina system to Alabama system. So he is still, even though he's transferred here living with us, his sentence is still under South Carolina. And so the rules, regulations, the policy, the procedures are different. There are other organizations now that are, and other Bible colleges and seminaries that are going into prisons. And but the thing that's happening that made us unique is that Birmingham Theological Seminary and then our prison recidivism program, we're married.
Hmm.
We are together. The other ones, they're separate. And again, they have volunteers that come in, and then the volunteers are gone. Our guys, it's inmate led. I'm in there every Thursday from about 8:30 to 1 or 2. Now, Mitch is the chaplain. He really can't be involved like he was before because he's got to be for everybody. But again, it's our guys. They're doing some things now that they're going to have a meeting Monday. I don't need to be a part of that. They're the ones that are organizing. They're the ones. I approve things. I'm there as an advisor, as a trainer to help facilitate things. But again, Mike can tell you, it's led by the guys inside. We're the only ones that are doing that.
So is there a hope then for BTS to try and go to other states then?
Oh. No, we can't. We're confined to Alabama. Now, we were, like I said, early on, we're in a state of transition, even with Jumpstart USA now, and I can't really go into that right now, but when they've made a lot of changes there, and again, one of the guys came down when we had one of our graduations, and so he was asking me, how did you do this? What's the formula? And so everything I said was that, the sovereignty of God. With me, with Mitch, with Ike, everything has been the sovereignty of God to bring all of us together.
Yeah.
There's no reason for us. Well, Ike and I would have been together because of BTS, but me and Mitch, the relationship that our families have together. There's just so many little things that at every step, red and green, coming over. That was God. The relationship with Chaplain Woodfin, all these with Dunn. He was that ram in the bush.
Mm.
If God had not brought him to be the commissioner, none of this would have been started.
Hmm. Wow. Thank you.
Thanks, Sheldon.
One more? Oh, you got it? Okay.
Please.
Go for it.
we see, I don't know how loud I sound here, but we see in the evangelical world, like Columbia, you made mention, working with inmates, providing education. I think of Wheaton has a prison initiative as well, and Southwestern or New Orleans Baptist Seminary. But in the Reformed world, we have Birmingham Theological Seminary. It, to me, seems that there is not much of a Reformed voice within prison ministry. I'm either wrong or in your experience.
Well, the Pentecostals are, like you just got back from Africa.
Yeah.
You know, Pentecostalism, the charismatic world, they dominate. Yeah. The
prosperity
prison.
Gospel.
Yeah.
All that. Yeah.
Joyce Myers is beamed in there. T.D. Jakes is beamed in there. They dominate. Copeland, all those guys are beamed into the prisons. So they dominate.
But what can the Reformed, we'll say, tradition or the Reformed world do in prison ministry? It, they don't have much of a voice.
You have to write
table.
A resolution and a white paper.
Okay.
And then nothing will be done.
Yeah, I can confirm that. And when I was working with Prison Fellowship, I brought solid, top-shelf Reformed theology to those guys. And they ate it up. And so many of them have what I would call pamphlet theology. They get a pamphlet from here, pamphlet from there. So many guys have come to me and said, I'm getting rid of my pamphlets. This is the real stuff, you know. And so the hunger is there. And there's a lot of people in prison that are very, very brilliant, I might add. They might have done some terrible things, but they're third-grade dropouts, but they're brilliant. And they can handle that stuff. And it's a great need if we could get more Reformed folks to...
We tried to partner.
Yeah.
Because Myree was with Prison Fellowship. The lady up there, Deborah, she's not with them now. So we tried, but our programs are as far away as the East is from the West. And right now, I mean, you've been, F1 is us, F4 is us, F3 is Prison Fellowship. We protect them. Mm-hmm. But now when we get you guys in, we'll have F1, F3, and F4. They're going to have to go and have their own bay, which that's going to be tough without our guys. But the discipline. The other organizations, other programs, don't want to do the discipline.
That's right.
And then with the other churches, I can't give you reasons why we're not. I think one is it's not sexy necessarily. It's fun to go into urban communities. I've often said, who's got a trailer park ministry? Mm-hmm. Poor white people need Jesus too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just to fill everybody in, these guys are getting together, I believe, with a new initiative, and you're with Ligonier? Is that correct, brother? Yeah, okay. Just so for people who didn't, we're like, hey, you guys, we're doing this, we're doing that.
I'm
so
sorry.
Just so they get to just catch everybody up. Well, we usually, at this point, pray for our speaker.
That's right.
You believe in that prayer stuff?
We do believe in that prayer stuff.
Yeah,
we're big believers in that prayer stuff.
We've heard that avails much.
So we're going to invite everybody forward.
One,
if you don't have a class to attend, come on forward and just we'll spend a few minutes praying over Dr. Thad and giving thanks.